All right, guys, welcome to the show. This is the new live Son of a Bitch, episode 114. Deborah gets red pilled. Deborah, you're here?
I'm here.
You're connected to audio?
I am.
Chet X, you're in the dungeon. How's it going, guys?
It's going fine.
Awesome up here.
Yeah. How's the weather's finally coming around, and that's a big deal for us in the Pacific Northwest, at least where I'm at, Chet X.
I'm not thrilled with our weather.
Oh, really?
Well, it doesn't help that I went to see Alana Freeland last night, so I'm thinking about weather an awful lot, but
yeah,
man, we got all these clouds that are like small cloud formations that are underneath just a white sky of haze. We can't see the sun. Huh. And it's just funky. It just Bummer. Ain't right.
Yeah, it's been kind of like that here. It's sunny out today. But let's do a little business. Guys, get in the Telegram group. It's going off in there. You can still send us emails. You can send us donations. And you can get merch from us. All that. Oh, we got an Odyssey channel so you don't have to support YouTube anymore. I'll start putting up all the new episodes on Odyssey, and I'll go back and I'll find some of my favorite shows and I'll upload those too. I don't have like a service. I don't know if there's a service that can help me move everything over, but Odyssey is awesome. I never really checked it out before, and I went and got an account and got everything on there. So yeah, we got that. And let's see, we got a really nice email this week from, let's see, who is it from? Let me log out and log back into my Deborah Gets Red Pilled email. And this woman, she lives in North Carolina. She said it was crazy. I think she said she lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. And she said the masking was nuts there. You don't really expect that in a southern state, but Those big cities are, you know, it's all the same.
Cities are cities.
Yeah. Let's see. Linda Sullivan. And Linda sent us an extremely generous donation. And she will be executive producer for this episode.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Linda. Chet X, you got to get set up with some sort of, do you have a Venmo or a PayPal? I need to give you some of this loot we're getting.
We got both. We'll figure something out.
Okay. Sounds good. And Deborah, you get absolutely nothing.
It's all
happening.
Directly related to the contribution.
Yeah.
You make zero, you get zero.
Well, it's directly related to the effort that you've been putting in.
That's it. That's it. The contribution and the effort.
Yeah. But enough about us. Chet X, let's hear about your weekend.
Oh, yesterday was amazing. Alana Freeland came to Whatcom County and gave us a 2+ hour presentation last night.
Let's do a little primer on her. What is she known for, and what kind of, just tell us about her.
So she writes books. They are all about geoengineering and transhumanism. In fact, that's the name of one of her books. She's been on a lot of podcasts that people listening have also listened to, I'm sure, such as Higher Side Chats and Crow 777. She talks about the space fence, which I sort of thought was her term, but I learned last night that that is a military term for all the radio waves that they have bouncing around in our sky, which is part of the ionization of our sky, which they use HARP to warm and many other things, but they use it as a heater and all kinds of, like she even thinks that they may have used HARP in the bringing down of the towers.
What does HARP stand for?
Oh, gee, you're going to throw that at me. it's
something, a research project, right?
Yeah. It's up in Alaska. It's a big grid of electric nodes that shoot out into the sky. Like I'm seeing videos from her last night of scientists bragging that they've figured out how to turn the entire sky into a lab, a laboratory, and they can do all kinds of experiments to activate plasma, to control clouds, to do all kinds of really, really, really wild stuff.
Who's running HARP?
That's a good question. It's a DARPA operation.
Okay.
DARPA created it.
So it could be a joint venture between intelligence, the military, all sorts of stuff.
Yes.
Private contractors. But it's federally funded.
It's federally funded. Absolutely.
And who's DARPA?
DARPA is
defense what is it?
I'm terrible with remembering acronyms right off the top of my head. It's weapons development for the military.
They're the ones that invented the internet, Deborah.
Yeah, they did. That's a fun fact right there.
Yeah.
They're full of fun facts. And when I say fun, it's usually a little disturbing, a little freaky.
Uh-huh. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency.
Yes. And with that, there was a clip that they showed with someone. They were asking the question had to do with, because it was when they were starting to tell us that they weren't going to use HARP anymore, which they did continue to use. But they were saying, why would you have spent so many millions of dollars on something that you were only going to use for a few years and then quit? They said, well, part of DARPA's acronym is projects, because we have multiple projects. We learned something from this and now we're going to use that on the next one. But then, of course, they reopened it a couple of years later. It was totally fake that they were ever stopping using it.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. And also they're building one in China right now.
Yeah.
It's the same technology, but that it's going to be more than 100 times larger than the one that's in Alaska.
Oh, which awesome.
Ridiculously huge.
Are the Chinese people doing that or are we? Okay.
The Chinese people are, but they have plans to work with us.
Uh-huh.
To have the two. That's where she thinks
Hunter Biden's over there right now negotiating for us.
he's doing what he do. But yeah, this presentation was absolutely mind-blowing. And then I had the opportunity, I got to have some breakfast with her this morning and talk with her for a little while. I got to tell her about you, Deborah, and she would absolutely love to come on here.
That's amazing.
Try and red pill Deborah on what they're doing to our skies.
We had Matt Landman on. He's the everybody's go-to. And I mean, he makes a pretty good case. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, just seeing, have you been looking up at the sky at all, Deborah?
You know, with all our light pollution here, there's not as much to see as what you guys see. I mean, I see is it the Big Dipper?
I'm talking about in the daytime. Can you see chemtrails?
Oh God. Yeah.
Here's a question that I'm now asking everyone is when you see a blue sky, do you have blue sky today? Both of you?
No, I did not.
Yeah. How about you, Adam? Is it blue out there? Is it a light or a baby blue or is it a dark, deep blue?
It was a darker blue today.
It was darker. Okay. Yeah. See, that's when she thinks that it's being a little less manipulated.
Okay.
The lighter it is, like right now, like I think I should have blue skies, but
I might just be saying that because it's kind of grayish blue. So maybe it's kind of, it's gray light blue out there now.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. After watching all of her evidence last night, which was like I said, 2+ hour slideshow that she went through with photographs of what skies used to look like, what they quote unquote should look like, what they often look like. She showed different cloud formations and, even ones where she was pointing out the chemtrails behind the planes sometimes don't stick around, but that's often that they're ionizing them from the jet itself with a propulsion going back that's causing it to dissipate and activate its plasma and other qualities that are inside of there.
Does she get into what she thinks is in chemtrails?
Not too much. We spent more time on graphene oxide and vaccines because she thinks that it's very connected between them.
That's where I'm at too.
And the 5G as well, and all all radio waves, all electromagnetic sources. It's the kind of stuff that it can either freak you out or make you, like in my case, I'm going, see, I just needed someone to validate some of the things I've been thinking. But it was quite interesting. And I'd recommend to anyone that's interested, her website, elanafreeland.com, elanafreeland.com. You can buy her books there. You can get them off Amazon too, but they're only black and white there, but you can get them in color for a few bucks more from her. And and she, like I said, she'd like to come on our show and talk with us, but it's not going to be for a couple months because she's on tour right now.
Oh, cool. I wonder if she's coming to Portland or anything.
Well, I was looking at the list. She is in Oregon, but I don't know where Ashland, Oregon is.
Yeah, that's pretty much California.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's as and far south. It's a far south. It's like 2 miles from California.
She'll be also be doing Weed, Shasta, Santa Cruz, Los Angeles, and then a couple places in Arizona, New Mexico. So she'll be around over the next couple months. And when she's done with all of that, she'd like to come on here probably in May. So I will talk with her about that and we'll set it up.
Yeah, that sounds great. What do you think about geoengineering, Deborah? Do you think it's real?
Yeah, I mean, I can't disbelieve anything these days.
Yeah, so. I mean, we have John Brennan on record talking about doing it. Mm-hmm. And then we also have, we have Operation Popeye. Do you know what that is, Deborah?
That's not the Antarctica.
No, that's Vietnam,
Operation
right?
High Jump. Operation Popeye was when, so the Ho Chi Minh Trail was, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Chud. Ho Chi Minh Trail is this big cleared road, dirt road throughout Vietnam, north to south. It was like the main supply chain line for the Vietnamese, the Viet Cong, or whoever we were fighting in Vietnam. And we engineered the clouds to rain, like torrentially rain, more than just monsoon season, to like wash out the road and disrupt supply.
Yeah.
In the Vietnam War.
All those pictures you see of the soldiers, the US soldiers holding their guns over their heads while they're up to here in mud. That was the result of that. They just they flooded the place, washed everything out. And they were proud of it. It was a success. You can see that really well in Matt Landman's film, Frankenskies.
Yeah.
Which I think is free on Vimeo or something.
Yeah.
That movie, I recommend that to anyone. Absolutely anyone, because it speaks for itself. It's been a while since I watched it, but it seems like the first 30 minutes of it's probably about 90 minutes long, and at least the first half hour or so, there's no narration. It is just news clips and news reels going way far back, just showing the different operations that they've told the American people about, that they've been proud of throughout this whole time. And then you get up to a certain point in more modern times, and it's like you say, weather control, and they go, that's a conspiracy. That's not a real thing. They can't do that. That was something they tried to do, but they failed at.
Yeah. And then you have like John Brennan talk about it, admit to it, but call it something else. And then they do it in Abu Dhabi or Dubai, or I get those.
Well, it's also what they're doing. Bill Gates has his fingers in this too, with Interscopex, I think is the name of the program. It's Bill Gates funded. It's run out of Harvard. It takes place in, I want to say, Norway or Sweden, someplace like that. And they're literally trying to, I think it's silver dioxide that they're spraying to, no, it's aluminum. It's an aluminum based one that they're trying to make a thick enough layer to dim the sun.
Yeah,
that's right. Dim the sun.
Yeah.
That's because that so would be a way to combat global warming. And it's like, oh my gosh. I mean,
how many global warming deaths would it have reduced already, Chud-X?
Zero. I mean, it would have. I mean, that's what creates global warming, in my opinion.
Yeah, messing around with shit we shouldn't be messing around with.
when you start looking at HARP and all of that kind of stuff, you start going, because I was on the fit, you know, being a little more on the conservative side than the liberal side, 10, 15 years ago when climate change would come up, I'd say, it's all a hoax. You guys are trying to, you're just trying to get me to quit driving my pickup. You know, that's forget you, you know. But now I'm starting to think, I think that this global warming thing is real, but it's being entirely engineered by the powers that be. And we're getting blamed for our pickup trucks and our lights and, you know, all our conveniences and all these things. And it's a pretty good way for them to, and now if like InterScopeX moves forward with blocking out the sun by spraying in the sky, you know, it's like they create a problem, they blame us, and then they say we have a solution, which happens to be exactly the same as what created the problem. And we go, oh, please, thank you. That way I can still drive. I can still do what I want to do, because of course this is all my fault, because we love taking the blame, it seems like.
Yep. It'd break your leg and give you a crutch.
There it is. Then the libertarian comes along and wants to take away the crutch. Am I right?
Yep. That's the whole deal. Why do you hate crutches so much? But yeah. Deborah, you listened to the last few episodes that we put out?
I did.
Our Jesus episodes?
Yes. I found religion.
That Marty Leeds, that was a tough interview for me. I felt, you know, I should have done a little more research to have better questions to ask, but it was a tough interview for me, and I hope the show went okay. I wish we could have gotten to some gematria, but because that's kind of his specialty.
I felt pretty good about it. I haven't listened back to it or anything, but it, you know, I came away with it, you know, thinking we did all right.
Yeah, there's good info in there.
I love listening to him do interviews, and it might have just been his demeanor and like seeing him sitting in his car with like all his clothes on, but I don't know if he seemed agitated, but I don't know. It could have just been me feeling inadequate, I think. But the Manuel Kingman one was great.
Yeah, that was really good.
What did you think of that one, Deborah?
I thought it was fascinating. I loved, you know, his stories about the demon in his closet and the alien in his closet and the demons coming out of his mouth. And just, I mean, it was that to me is entertaining, but it also was like super interesting.
Yeah.
You know, a new way to think about some of the old stuff that got drummed into us.
Yeah. So like, when we had, I think it was when we had Cretchit and Chris on, you said that you were more likely to believe in aliens now since you've done the show. Uh-huh. Are you less likely to believe that aliens are from outer space?
That's a big old question mark.
Yeah.
I mean,
because I'm know, maybe
anything that's not quote unquote native to the surface of our Earth is an alien, whether they come from inside or way out there.
Yeah. And I'm more likely to believe in aliens over the last month or so.
Uh-huh.
But I don't believe that they're, if there are aliens, that they're from outer space, because I don't believe in space. But just the whole thing of them coming from a different realm or being demons or Nephilim or something like that is fun to think about.
Uh-huh.
And it's weird because I don't know how it is for you two, but growing up, when I, you know, knew about aliens and what I'd think about them, I'd always think of like a benevolent alien. And now I don't, I think of something bad.
War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
I've gone both ways throughout my life. When I used to more so believe in aliens, not that I ever like had proof or anything like that, but I just sort of, what's the name of that? The Fermi paradox, something like that. That's if there are as many planets as we have discovered, then it would be and as many more as we assume we're going to continue to discover, then it would be impossible for there not to be life on other planets. And, you know, I kind of just bought in. Oh yeah, of course there's going to be, you know, we're not that special. We're just,
exactly.
If we're random, as I thought, then this has to randomly replicate similarly. Maybe it doesn't look or feel like us, but it's other life forms. And at times I would think, yeah, I could see them coming and being benevolent and helping us and teaching us, because they were able to get all the way over here. We weren't able to get all the way over there. They have to be more advanced. But then I could also see the War of the Worlds point of view of, you know, coming and taking us out because we have good resources, or enslaving us because we have resources.
Yeah, you know? we're more advanced than other countries. And, and
what do we do?
Yeah, we bring democracy, Chuck.
Yeah, yeah, we'll have aliens bring us democracy at some point.
Yeah.
And we'll thank them for it.
Thank them on our knees.
Yeah. What else is going on? Oh, our guest is here. Should we bring him in?
Let's just go. Before you do, just one last thing. I want to give a shout out. I met someone last night. Max came to that event and he listens to Deborah Gets Red Pilled.
Oh wow. Hey Max, thanks for listening, bro. It was
great to see him. He said he was a machinist and that they do work for NASA. And he said that he used to think that was so cool, but then he said, but, you know, now I'm starting to wonder if space might be, and we both said at the same time, fake and gay. It was a great moment.
I think he might be in the Telegram, or he sent me emails before, something like that, maybe.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, he emailed you once, and you forwarded it to me.
Okay.
And we had emailed back and forth a couple times.
Cool, yeah, I remember talking to somebody who was a machinist. Is he from Spokane or something like that?
I didn't get where he's from, but he lives close to here.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. Right on. Thanks for listening, Max. Okay, should we just bring the guest in?
Yeah.
Let's just bring him in. He's a casual guy. All right. There he is.
There he is.
Uh-huh.
Jamie, can you hear us?
Yes.
All right, we're recording right now. You're on the show. So guys, today our guest, he is many things. He is a photographer, a poet, a punk rocker, a musician. But mostly everybody in our community knows Jamie Deluxe for his deep dives into all things bad involving children and your amazing video editing skills and your small documentaries. What's going on, bro?
Not much. Just trying to run around and get everything ready to be out here on time. So
yeah.
Still out of breath.
Yeah, you made it, dude. We're glad to have you here. And you got a cool looking studio, man. It looks kind of like a fallout shelter.
Yeah, you got your bed there and
got my garage door right there. Got my green screen behind me.
Right on, man.
There you go.
You're coming to us from South Carolina, which seems like from what I hear you talking about, it was a relatively free state that nobody seemed to talk about during this whole debacle that we've just sort of gotten out of.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's kind of like Florida. Yeah, except they didn't really talk about it as much, which I'm cool with. Just leave us the fuck alone, you know? It wasn't too bad. Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
The Palmetto State, right?
Yep. Palmetto bugs.
Yeah.
Which are like giant cockroaches and palmetto trees.
Yeah, Palmetto State Armory. Best place to go to get a $300 AR-15.
Is that place open yet?
Well, they have a massive mail order. I know they've got a couple storefronts in.
Well, I drive by it every day. It's like, there's one right, like, you know, on the way to my work, like pretty close, but it's the old Sun News, which was a local Myrtle Beach newspaper. It's their old offices.
Yeah.
So it looks like somebody shot out some windows and blew the place up kind of, or tried to, but there's a nice sign out front that says Palmetto State Armory. So I'm like wondering when this is going to happen.
Yeah. From what I remember hearing maybe during like election time is that South Carolina is per capita the most heavily armed state in the union. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I definitely feel safer here than anywhere else. Maybe not anywhere else, but I feel pretty safe here, you know?
Yeah.
Like we're protected. maybe not all the way, but there's a lot of rednecks here. Yeah. So, thankfully.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, oh, sorry, I didn't introduce you, everybody. That's Deborah up there. And that's my co-host, Chud X.
How you doing?
Yeah. So we brought you on to talk about some different things that you've been looking into. We could either go a few different ways. We could go into the real Anthony Fauci. We could go pedophilia. What do you feel like, Deborah?
Oh, I love me some pedophilia.
You got it.
I don't know if you say it like that.
Yeah, you got to relax, Deborah.
Okay.
Why don't you want to hear about Dr. Fauci? Just because it'll kind of like that whole thing. You don't want to meet your heroes or.
No. In fact.
Yeah.
Hey.
This was my Christmas gift from my son-in-law, Adam.
Nice.
I'd be happy to talk about him.
Maybe we could do a little bit of both of them. So,
I've read it. I've only read it with my ears. I ordered a copy, but it was never like if it's on back order or something. And then I needed the money. So I just canceled the order like 2 weeks later when I needed it.
Yeah.
But I want to get a copy too. I have this. I'm working on something right now. Just something small because with the drummer of Foo Fighters just dying.
Yeah.
We don't know how, of course, you know, so I'm not making any assumptions. I'm a little curious, though, because, they say all these drugs and stuff.
They said he had 10 different drugs in his system.
That was me every day for many years. I mean, you replaced the benzos with amphetamines. I needed THC, amphetamines, opiates, and whatever else. Oh, antidepressants to get out of bed. So that's, everybody's used to that, But what if everything you thought you knew about AIDS was wrong? Hey,
you know what, Jamie? Uh-huh. You know what's that? I read that book in college.
Did you?
In 2001, I had a history professor named, I've been meaning to bring this up, Dr. Robert Geschechter, Chico State University.
I think I've heard his name.
That was.
Is he in some of these old documentaries?
He has in that book, I think he has just like one of the clips of a guy that reviewed it. It should be on there. Dr. Robert.
There's a whole bunch of like little boxes and stuff. It looks really well done.
Look on the back and see if they're, how they have like little reviews from people.
On the very back?
Yeah.
Becker. Yeah. It's very well sourced.
Yeah.
It's more like a textbook.
Yeah.
In a way, but a small one.
I think it was, we had a class called I was in African history. And of course that's when like in the early 2000s, that's when all the big news was like that every person in Africa had AIDS. And this guy was awake to it. And
Charles Geschechter?
Yeah, Charles Geschechter, not Robert Geschechter.
Yeah. I've seen him. I think I've seen him in some of these old documentaries I've been watching. I think I could have him confused with somebody else. Yeah.
He was a cool dude. And, but he signed that book. And I remember I showed it to, I was like, oh, wow, this is like the main thing that I remember is that from country to country, the definition of AIDS varied. So like, and I don't know what it's like in Zimbabwe, if you had a cough and diarrhea for four days, you were HIV positive.
Something like that. It's very arbitrary.
And
it's very arbitrary. Very arbitrary. Not
based on symptoms, not a test-based thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really got me thinking lately, people getting diagnosed for certain shit. Are they the same shit? Just like, what makes you call it this or that? You know, like, I don't know. A lot of things have the same exact fucking symptoms. So, it's just like, and then they seem to do that over and over again. Like, what's the difference between smallpox and chickenpox? Is that the same thing? I don't know.
Who knows?
I have a chickenpox scar on my head. I know I have that.
Shingles is chickenpox, right?
I think it's the same virus.
Yeah, so it's the same virus and it stays in your body your whole life. And
shingles.
So you get chickenpox when you're a kid, and then when you're old, it comes back as shingles.
Something
to that effect. I should ask my dad. My dad's always complaining his shingles are acting up, but I don't even know really what that is.
Me neither. I've never questioned any of the shit my whole life. What does that or in, except that I don't want to hear that I have any of it, whatever it is, So I don't really know, but it seems like we've been being played for many years.
I got chickenpox in my 40s.
Yeah.
Did you ever get it when you were a little girl though?
Mm-mm.
I've heard it's way worse if you don't get it as a kid.
Well, I heard that as well, but I also knew that my doctor at the time had said, as soon as you see, because one of my daughters had it and I knew I was going to get it. And so he said, as soon as you see one little spot, he gave me a prescription for, I think it was Zovirax, which is something that you take for herpes also. It's the same virus.
Yeah.
And so herpes.
That's what it is.
Yeah. I didn't get that sick.
Sense.
Did both your girls have chickenpox, Deborah?
Yes.
So they probably just missed when they started vaccinating kids for it. Yes. Because kids don't have chickenpox anymore.
Right.
You got really? Kids, Jamie. Do they have?
I do. I know the bare minimum. Like I'm like a big kid, so luckily their mother is a grown up.
Yeah.
So I know. Made sure that I can admit it. You know, I'm here at least.
Yeah.
I know they were vaccinated for pretty much most everything up until I don't trust them at all anymore. Honestly, I don't trust any vaccine no more. They're not touching them again. You know. And I hope we got out of everything else. You know, just like I was as a kid. I didn't know though. You know.
Yeah.
My firstborn was vaccinated, not full schedule or whatever the right term.
Yeah, we didn't do all of them.
But he got some of them. The ones that they the ones that they said were really important. He got
measles, mumps, rubella, diphtheria.
It may have been. I don't know. I don't trust that either anymore. Maybe is it that one? I did a video on one. I don't know. This last two years have been a fucking mind fuck mess, you know. But what fucking shot was it? It was pertussis, whatever that one was. I don't remember what it's called. DTP or DPT.
The DTEP.
Yeah. And they were like openly admitting that it was causing not autism, but they were saying retarded. But the thing was from 1982, this documentary. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was causing encephalitis. And like, you know,
that's an inflammation, right? An inflammation in the brain. Inflammation is what causes autism.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. So they were openly admitted back then, 40 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Charlie Robinson has a vaccine insert that says may cause autism in it.
Okay.
So yeah, no, I don't know when it's from, but yeah.
I don't trust any of these shit anymore. You know, not at all. Yeah,
none of it. None of it.
No, I mean, and I shouldn't have known. When I was 18, I got hooked on painkillers. Bad. Like, you know, from a doctor. Within 2 years, the pain management center, by the time I was like 20, maybe 21, they got shut down by the DEA.
Oh, those pill mills, right?
Yeah, but I didn't know. I have a bad back, and I still do. But, you know, at the time, it was the late 90s. You know, I didn't know. I went, and like, I also lost my best friend around that time. He had an asthma attack in a hot tub and drowned, right?
Oh, my so I was God. Like,
well, the painkillers also killed my emotional pain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So actually, ironically, I just know because of Facebook, because a year, you know, he died in 1998, but I made him a Facebook like a memory page like 10 years ago. Today's his birthday, Judd.
Oh, wow. Judd.
He would have been 43. That would have been 19. That's who I named my son after him. My son's name's Judd. But yeah, it killed me emotional pain. They got shut down like 2 years later. And my doctor, who was pretty young, he was in his 30s, they were all facing jail time and everything because people were ODing on oxys. And he shot him. Well, no, he didn't shoot himself. I always thought that until like 2 weeks ago. I was looking into it again because I was talking to some of my subscribers and they found him hanging in the backyard. Now, my subscribers have looked some of it because I just do like a live bullshit channel just for fun, just to like, you know, get shit off my chest, smoke weed, listen to music and talk to people. some of them had looked into it and they were saying that they don't think he killed himself. They think he was taken out because he was supposed to testify against the other doctors. So I don't really know. I mean, up about like 20 something years, I always thought that he shot himself, but no, they found him hanging. So that's weird.
That's rough.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Those pill mills in the early 2000s or late 90s or whenever were out of control, especially in the southern part of the United States. I think.
Oh, yeah. Me and my mom went. You know, my doctor was, you know, ended up dying. My mom's doctor was the main doctor. It was his practice. So I guess he went to jail or something. I'm not really sure. I mean, I'm assuming they did. Everyone else that didn't kill themselves or weren't found dead went to jail for a certain amount of time, at least.
Yeah, there's a... Oh, go ahead, Judd.
I was just going to say, there's such a terrible setup for everyone involved. You know, you get these people hooked. They're out of control. Mm-hmm. Like Adam just said, they get all these people on it. Then the DEA comes in, yep. shuts them down. And it's like, which one day you go there? I mean, we talked to someone a few weeks ago who said that the first time they were denied at their pill mill, they walked outside and there was someone in the parking lot selling heroin. And they were like, okay,
yeah. okay.
This is where I go from there. You know, it's that simple.
Well, I mean, we ended up going to the methadone clinic for 12 years. That's mm-hmm. what, you know, think that's $11 a day I paid for 12 fucking years every day, you know, to go there just to get the methadone. I'm off, you know, we're off all that. We've been off for like, I guess 6 years now, which is crazy. I never thought I was going to get off, but honestly, but yeah, all that, they got all that money.
What do you think about Suboxone?
I never, see, it wasn't around, or I'd never heard of it when we started going to the clinic in like 2004.
Yeah.
I didn't hear of it then. I heard of it later. I tried it, you know, not for that, just for fun. And I feel like it just made me tired. I don't know. I was high too. So who the fuck knows?
Yeah. But,
I hear it's a little easier to get off of. I don't know.
I heard it's incredibly hard to get off of. Like, more people stay on it than get off of heroin, I guess. But that's probably,
well, that's how methadone is. I mean,
yeah, because it's, you're not going to go to prison for being on Suboxone, probably.
Well, when I was on painkillers, I go through withdrawals. It was horrible. You know, I was a touring musician back then in my early 20s. You know, and I would be on the road for 2 or 3 weeks. And in El Paso, Texas, I took my last painkiller and then I just went through withdrawals and just like did the tour that way, which was horrible. But it would have been a lot easier to get off when I was young, and those withdrawals were nothing compared to the methadone withdrawals. Yeah. So, I mean, methadone and Suboxone, if it's the same way, which I'm sure it is, it's a lot harder to get off of. The withdrawals are unbearable.
Yeah.
Really bad.
They had this guy on Joe Rogan. I forget which guy he was, but he was talking about drugs and he said that that's overblown. And I don't really believe him. He said that it's like a bad flu.
Kind of, but I don't know. Well, there is a lot of mental shit there too, I'll say.
Yeah.
You know, there is. But I mean, my legs would just be twitching and shit. It feels like you get the shit beat out of you. The sweats, twitching. Plus this mental thing, like you just see him. You just got to have it. I don't really know how to explain it. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah. It seems like it could be it could be just like the flu in a sense, like maybe the physical symptoms or something.
Yeah.
Like, the flu, but that doesn't address at all the actual difficult part, which is the entirely mental.
If I didn't have a mental thing. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's bad too. That's bad too. You could, like, those withdrawals, you know, because the withdrawals can fucking kill you.
Alcohol, I think, is the only one where the withdrawals can make you die.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, I
could see, like, if you got off methadone too quick, maybe you can have a stroke or something, because your heart is like just like pounding, just like you're fucking freaking out, you know, panicking. You know, the only way we got off was a slow detox through like a period of years, like 5 milligrams for like a few months. And then, that's the only way we got off.
Yeah.
Rough.
How long have you been off heroin, Deborah?
Oh, 10 minutes.
You're doing good. You're doing good.
I don't judge. I mean,
we'll try and wrap up here soon so you can get back to it.
Yeah. You know, one time I asked Deborah the Ron Paul question is if they made heroin legal tomorrow, would you go out and buy it? And she's honestly told me, I don't know. So
yeah.
Which I thought was strange,
I feel the same way.
Answer. I'm a definite no. But
I would say that, but I don't want to be a liar because I don't know. Like my back, like just thinking about it, my back starting to hurt. Damn, man. Actually, I didn't want anything that strong. I wouldn't mind like a half a fucking Lorset or something. Just
I got sober from alcohol in AA. So I'm completely abstinent. I did mushrooms once, so I'm still sober though. And
that helps you.
But yeah, I just luck of the draw. I mean, I got unlucky because I got hooked on alcohol. I got that going for me, but I have done tons of painkillers and never done heroin or anything. Never had the desire, but I've taken every painkiller under the sun orally and up my nose, and it never.
You haven't gone rectum yet? Me neither. But I heard.
No, I went urethra, never rectum. but it never. I mean, it was just always something if somebody had, so I could come down off cocaine because there was no more Bud Light left, you know. But
I hear you there too.
It didn't it didn't hit that switch for me where it didn't, it wasn't something I sought out. I just sought out Miller High Life for the most part, you know? So
yeah,
I can, fuck my life up really, really well with like really cheap with a $5, 12 pack, you know? So
yeah. Yeah. I was paying like $5 a pill just trying to get through the day. And like four of them wasn't even enough. You know, that was a shitty day.
Yeah.
So, but to me, it was more like, that's like, they gave me the feeling that I thought everybody else had, like normal people that smiled and stuff in public and, you know, I thought that feeling, that's what I was missing, that everybody else had. But I realized that they don't. Nobody, you know, not everybody. You have it sometimes, but not always.
Yeah. Well, let's transition a little bit. Deborah wants to talk about some pedo stuff. I guess I'd like to talk. We've never really done like a full on Pizzagate show, or just like stuff related to that. I'm a full believer. I've done enough research on it to know that it's probably real. What's your thoughts, Deborah?
Well, we did the Franklin
scandal is it's not conspiracy, but it's in the conspiracy world, it's the thing that I probably know the most about.
Uh-huh.
Out of all the stuff I know about. So we know about Franklin. What can we do? Let's talk about, yeah, Pizzagate, power elites, power bottoms, all that stuff, Jamie.
Well, Franklin, I didn't know back like when I first started doing this that Warren Buffett was like Larry King from the Franklin scandal's biggest financial backer. And because he lived in Oklahoma and he was like, you know, he was paying
for Omaha, Nebraska.
Right? Omaha. Yeah. That's what I meant to say. I didn't know that back then. And then, you know, because you get Warren Gates, that connection, you know, fucking,
yeah,
what's his name again? Warren, what is his name? Buffett.
Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett.
Like, yeah. Jimmy Buffett.
Yes. Jimmy Buffett's brother. No, he's not. I work at Land Shark Bar and Grill, which was the first, you know, it's like a subset of Margaritaville. And yeah. When I was a cook there, we were the first one they ever opened was here, like 2011. And all the orientation, we had to learn all about Jimmy Buffett. I felt like it was a cult. Like, I know his birthday is on Christmas. I remember that. That was like what I had to learn. I was like, I gotta cook. What the fuck is this gonna do anything?
Yeah.
But yeah, I wonder.
What's his followers called? Like his version of
Parrotheads.
Deadheads. Yeah. Okay.
Parrotheads.
Yeah.
Parrot?
Yeah. Parrotheads. I know.
Where does that come from?
Just from being like tropical and like Key West. Yeah, I guess so. Like they're like beach bum hippie types, you know?
Kind of, yeah. And my ex-girlfriend's dad was one, so yeah.
They don't wear like parrot hats when they go to the show.
Probably.
They wear all kinds of dumb shit.
I'm sure they do.
Okay, so we got the Warren Buffett connection. Lawrence E. King is the head of the Franklin Credit Union in Omaha, Nebraska. And that's the problem with that whole scandal is the Franklin Credit Union is what the scandal is. But it's really should be called like the Boys Town scandal, because that's where they were getting all the children from. And Boys Town is a huge orphanage in Nebraska, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Larry King was this black guy. He was a rising star in the Republican Party. Yep. This was like early 1980s where that wasn't very prevalent. It's still not very prevalent. He sang the national anthem at like the 1984 Republican convention. You can see that online. And he was just sourcing all these kids from Boys Town and peddling them out to like all these local power elites. And then they were also trafficking drugs for him. And or not just him, but for everybody involved. And they were even rumored to have gone all the way like into the White House, into the George Herbert Walker Bush White House and in the middle of the night.
It's been a while since I looked into this, but yeah, that just jogged my memory.
Yeah,
that's all correct. Well, yeah. They even had that newspaper cover from back then, because they had check receipts, like the receipts from like checks they written. Yeah, like these call boys in the White House or whatever.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's like they would get rewarded with drugs, or they'd get to go to someplace fun if they did like a good job at these parties that they'd have for people. And yeah, I guess that's kind of what they talk about.
Say, is that my dogs? My dogs don't have collars on though.
Yeah, that's my little dog. Right here.
They come in here sometimes. Yeah.
Okay, so where does what's a good place to jump into Pizzagate?
I don't know, except it's DC.
Deborah, like, why don't you ask questions?
Well, no, Pizzagate, it's one of those things that got weaponized, so it's not really anything I really much talk about anymore, but it is what started me, though. It is what started me, and I did recently make a video invoking it, which is weird, because I can tell you something that maybe not might not be known. I just found it the other day. So, this new judge for the Supreme Court, I know most people know this already, that she was like Edgar Madison Welch's judge from back then.
Explain that.
All right. So the judge that was just that the Supreme Court judge that doesn't know what a woman is.
Yeah. Ketanji Jackson Brown.
Yeah. All right. Her. So she was the judge from when Edgar Madison Welch went in the comment and shot the hard drive. She's the one, she was the judge that sentenced him, and she sentenced him for 4 years.
Do you remember when that happened, Deborah?
No, I don't. But evidently she went soft on him.
Yeah.
So this guy went into Comet Pizza and Ping Pong, which is where Pizzagate is supposed to be based out of. This guy goes in and shoots with a gun to go apparently like free the children in the basement. All he does is he shoots one or two bullets, and what he shoots is the hard drive of the pizza parlor.
The one shot.
Yeah. And his father had some sort of intelligence connections, right?
I've heard that. I haven't looked into it yet, but because I haven't been like looking into any of this in years.
Yeah.
But since I just made that video, people were saying that. Yeah. So I haven't really looked into it yet. But
so
that's what
she was his trial judge. She was his judge.
Yeah. She was his trial judge, the one that sentenced him. And she was like, although I think, you know, I believe that you went in with all good intentions. We can't take, you know, we can't take matters into our own hands. So she sentenced him for 4 years. But there's something I forgot back then. 5 weeks before he did that, Edgar Madison Welch, fucking like three names. It's like a serial killer.
Yeah.
Edgar Welch or whatever. 5 weeks before he did that, where he's from in North Carolina, he hit a 13-year-old kid with his car. Head to, like, you know, chest trauma, some head, maybe head trauma, like fuck this kid up, this 13-year-old kid, right? 5 weeks before he drove up there. Now, the articles I found recently, kind of leads it off there that they don't think he did it on purpose, and the investigation is still going. He wasn't charged for anything, but then I couldn't find anything else. I found the kid's Facebook page back then. He was in the hospital for a couple months. You know, he's bitching like, no, they won't let me out of the hospital. But then he got out. All right. Never hear of this again. Like, what happened? Like, he hit this 13-year-old kid. He was going 45. That was the speed limit, supposedly. Hit this 13-year-old kid. Stayed on the scene of the crime. I don't know if it's a crime, but accident, we'll say. Stays on the scene of the accident. Doesn't get charged. Doesn't get arrested or nothing. And never hear of it. Okay, goes to the hospital for a few months. Well, then, all right, 5 weeks later, he goes to D.C. and supposedly shoots this and gets served, you know, charged or whatever, serves 4 years. The 13-year-old kid, a couple years later, when he's 16, is involved with a robbery murder. And him and two friends shoot, rob and shoot some 71-year-old dude. And he's in jail for murder now. That's fucking weird, man. Like, seriously, the kid that he hits. Yeah. So he's in prison for murder now.
That's weird,
it's just like weird. What is that? I don't even know. I don't even know if I can make a video on that or not. But maybe I might, just because it's like so weird to me.
Yeah, I think anybody who knows anything about this would be interested by that.
Yeah,
you know.
I remember hearing about that back then, but I you know, it's been 5 years and I've made a lot of videos, so yeah, it's just like, damn. I looked into it a little further, and the kid's in prison for murder, you know, like robbery and murder.
So, how about that basement though? That he was looking for, was that, because I mean, you know, of course the whole thing was there is no basement, but then I've heard people say it with absolute certainty that there is a basement. at that.
I don't know about there. I know about places around there. I know for sure. It's been years, but I did, like I said, this is what started me. So supposedly they have none, but the dude that owns it also owns a place like two doors down called Bucks, which is an article where he says they kept the tomatoes in the basement. So his other place has one, but that's not it.
That's Alefantis, James Alefantis.
Yes, Alefantis. If you go next door to a nut, then the one next to that, Besta Pizza, that had the pedophile logo, but it was a pizza thing.
Yeah,
they have not only a basement. If you go through, there's a video of some guy named Pot Awful made. And I think this video is still on Vimeo somewhere. I know it is because I watched it recently because I saw him on something, whatever, he brought it up. They opened the back door of Besta Pizza and you can go right into the back of the restaurant or straight and down some stairs to underground thing, like three doors down. So that's fucking weird. It looked like it was almost like some kind of like underground parking type thing or whatever, but it's underneath the back door of Besta Pizza. Across the street directly, there's a place called Jake's American Grill. And I just know this because I did make a video about it 5 years ago. The video is no longer around. You can see proof that I made it on BitChute, but it didn't like something corrupted and it didn't save right. But this place had a basement. Not only was it a basement, it was a kid-friendly bar. Like they babysat for like kids downstairs. I swear to fucking God, they babysat kids downstairs. And like at the time, I found this old creepy video on like Instagram. I mean, it was creepy to me, but it's kind of fucking weird. You got kids down under a bar in a basement. They had dry erase boards. Like, you know, I forget exactly because it's been 5 years, but something about babysitting kids and shit. For, you know, I don't know. Thought that was weird.
Casinos used to have those because my parents used to park me in a casino when they would go gamble.
Where in Reno?
They had it.
In South Shore Lake Tahoe. Harris had a teen center.
What'd you get up to there, Deborah?
Listen to music and just kind of walked around with my head down feeling like a loser.
There was no guys or fun stuff to do, kids smoking grass or
no. Not that I mean I didn't engage with anybody. I was shy and a loser, so but they used to have those kinds of things, so it doesn't surprise me really that a bar or restaurant might have such a thing.
I guess it's not really weird, but it could be weird. It could be weird because it's the basement right across the street from the other place. And the videos I had found were from 2012 too. Because even at my age, things were a lot different 20 years ago. 30 years ago, I could buy cigarettes with a note, you know, saying please when I was 10, you know. So I know things changed drastically.
Yeah, so, I used to be able to go. I'd go to the minor league baseball games with my dad and just go up and buy beer for him. As a little, as a 7-year-old kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
Yeah.
But, okay. So we did all that. I'm glad we got to talk about it with you because I've been listening to you for years on podcasts talk about it. And I think you're one of the best researchers on it. But I know recently you've been getting way into the real Anthony Fauci. So can we get into that? I think really benefit Deborah.
I've been looking into it for just like 2 years now, and then this book comes out, The Real Anthony Fauci, and it verified everything that I found, you know, everything that I found over the last 2 years, it verifies it. And it's bad. It's really bad. I mean, I don't know how far you are in the book, but yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. I'm listening to it on Audible.
Yeah.
It's like 27 hours long.
Oh yeah. You can do like a 1 point something. That's what I did. Cause it's like, I feel like he talks too slow. Don't worry. It's not Robert Kennedy Jr.
Yeah. I was
talking.
Worried about that when I bought it. I was like, no, I really hope Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is not
really. Yeah. No, it's not him. It's how unfortunate though. Huh? No, somebody else, but the guy talks slow. So you can speed it up to like 1.2, 1.3. I forget what I listened to it at, but it definitely wasn't at one. Cause it's like dragon ass.
Yeah. But, where can we dive in with that? Like, so I guess we start with AIDS or 1982. Is that around that time?
1981 is when it was first. What they clustered, first clustered, I guess, by Michael Gottlieb and he called it GRID, gay-related
immune disorder.
Thank you. Yeah.
So Deborah was living in San Francisco.
San Francisco. Yeah. Gay cancer.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, because it was Kaposi's sarcoma, which you know, was like, it's not anything they really see with quote unquote age patients anymore. They saw it because of paupers, which you know, they're all doing because it's like a youthful. I'd never heard of it until like a few years ago, and you know, I wouldn't abuse them, but I wouldn't mind trying one. Just
do you know about those, Deborah?
Yes.
Poppers, amyl nitrate is what they're called, right?
Amyl nitrate, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we used to do them in the dance, in the clubs.
Because you were hanging out at gay bars, right?
I think everybody did that, right?
Because like, you were working at like a clothing boutique,
in
right?
And retail, most of my buddies were gay men. Gay men. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's, what is it? You've done it, Deborah?
Yeah.
What does it do? Just give you a head rush?
Yeah, you just feel like screaming your lungs out in joy.
And how long does it last for?
20 seconds.
It's like a whip it equivalent. Yeah, yeah. Whip it, I guess.
You know what I've heard about it too is, I'll get a little graphic here, is that gay guys were doing it too because it opens up your BH.
I was going to say it, so I'm glad you did. That's what I was going to say.
You guys ever seen Pink Flamingos?
Oh yeah.
The movie?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, John Waters.
The dude does a popper and then they play that song, a papa ooh mow mow, papa ooh mow. Oh god,
I didn't know some of the most
I won't say what's going on, but
is it the talking asshole? I think it's the talking asshole. Now I get it finally after all these years.
You'll never hear an old Pringles ad the same again.
One of my best friends growing up is from Baltimore, so he got us in the John Waters pretty early, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that I saw that way too young for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw that on TV. I was in New York working and it was like 2 a.m. in the morning and I'm just, you know, I had never heard of John Waters. I don't know, but there it is. Pink Flamingos on TV.
Yep. Dang, Jesus Christ on TV. Huh?
Yeah, my favorite John Waters was Polyester. That one was good.
Oh, yeah. I saw that in Smell-O-Rama.
Yeah,
the theater. Where they got you the scratch and sniff card. Yes,
numbers would pop up and you'd scratch and smell what they were smelling on screen.
Yeah. I liked Edie the Egg Lady.
I used
Francine and Cuddles.
Oh, Francine.
Yeah. And the Baltimore Foot Stomper was her son. There's this old punk rock band. I don't know if they're still around, from Oakland, called Oppressed Logic, and they used to put a whole bunch of John Waters samples at the start of their songs. It was pretty awesome. But okay, so
poppers.
Poppers are, what are poppers causing, Jamie?
Kaposi's sarcoma, which is like a skin cancer type thing. But the thing is, like, I think that there's cases of it like healing up or going away. So I don't know. I mean, what I read on it, it could be fatal if it spread to the lungs, but it wasn't like the, you know, always. So
okay,
that's what they were getting. But that's what the first AIDS case. No, that and like, you know, years of fucking hardcore drug abuse. Like I see people like that I actually know that go on meth for, you know, I don't know how long, probably like a week longer than that, because I know that for a fact. But they go on meth for a while and they look like AIDS patients. You see them like their picture on the fucking paper.
Yeah.
Like the little arrest paper or whatever. They're all, you know, they look like fucking zombies.
Yeah, they're all sucked up. And
I mean, I'm sure that's being exploited for AIDS if you can get a quote unquote positive HIV test out of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just from like, you don't sleep, you don't eat, you know, and you just keep going, doing speed for days and your immune system's going to go down.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah, yeah. Once your immune system's down, you get pneumonia. And then, so where does like Fauci and AZT come in?
Well, Fauci took over its head of, I've heard it say NIAID or NIAID.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to say, because I always said NIAID, which is like a fucking tongue twister. But yeah, he becomes head in 1984, ironically, 1984. And which is also the year that they proclaimed that it was a virus, because before that it was up in the air. Yeah, it was. They speculated about it, but there was no science behind it or anything. It was science by press release, you know, that it was a virus, and that's also when Fauci steps in, which is weird because later on he says, you know, years later, jokingly, eventually all diseases are going to be infectious diseases. I'm just kidding. I just want the money. You know, like exploiting any disease that you get from whatever and making it infectious disease, because that's his department, you know, he gets money and directs the money. But yeah, he comes in 1984 after they blame it on a virus. And I guess just not enough people were dying anymore. Or yeah, it was probably just going away. I mean, by 1986, 87, I think they said it peaked. It did peak around that time. But that's when AZT came in, because not enough people were dying.
Yeah.
So 1987.
And AZT is, it's a repurposed cancer drug, cancer right? Drug. That was it was just too...
It's worse than cancer.
Yeah, it was just killing everybody, not working.
Yeah, it was because I try to picture this in my head, like a DNA, because I don't, you know, we see graphics of them or whatever, a DNA chain, but however, I don't think it matters how it actually looks. It's like whatever you picture in your head. Like, all right, I'm just picturing now, like, because I've had gardens and I've meditated with them, and my cucumbers are fucking intimidating. I'm saying they're huge, huge cucumbers just from meditating and talking to the plants. So like I'm picturing like every day it moves a little bit, but your DNA is kind of like that. Like every day it just keeps growing and, you know, it's life. So if you stop the growth of DNA, you know, you're going to stop that. You can't live much longer. It just poisons you. It stops everything.
And that's what AZT does.
Yeah. It's a DNA chain terminator. It replicates. I don't know exactly which protein it is. It's TH. I think it's thiodine. I could have that wrong because, you know, I don't fucking know, but it replicates that. And what it does is as the DNA chain goes, there's like four proteins, it replicates the last one. And because usually it keeps going, growing again, the four proteins, it replicates the last one and then nothing can stick to it. So it stops the growth of it. So eventually, okay. Yeah, I mean, if you can't keep, because, you know, we generate new cells like constantly, nonstop.
Yeah. It's okay. So AZT comes in. That's what everybody who's coming down with whatever they're calling AIDS is. So like probably people that don't even have, just gay guys are going in, getting blood tests. They have a cold.
Much.
You know, they've been partying super hard.
And well, like, I mean, the tests are so totally non-specific anyway. The tests for antibodies, and it's really not specific about it. So whatever causes a reaction in a test to be positive doesn't really mean anything, but so say people think it does. Well, that's when the problems come, you know? So it's like, it's kind of like with this, it's the testdemic.
Yeah. And, okay. So people get diagnosed and they're given an AZT regimen and it makes them super sick and people start just deteriorating away, looking like meth heads and dying.
Yeah, especially at first, because that was the heaviest dose of it, you know, 1,500 milligrams. That's what Freddie Mercury was on.
Yeah.
Which I say at first, but that was, he didn't die until 91.
Yeah.
So, he was only on, I mean, I think he only knew for 2 years, they say. So, still 2 years. I mean, he looked horrible.
Yeah.
Pale, frail.
So, at the part in the book that I'm at right now is when they talk about how Fauci, they were trying to get authorization to use all the buyers clubs were using to fight it. And he wouldn't give permission.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Kind of like what they're doing now with all these other things like ivermectin or whatever.
Yeah. But he was on record as saying that if he had AIDS, that's what was it?
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, he would. I think it was some kind of inhalant or inhaler type thing. I think, I'm not sure exactly what, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah, he said he would. Yeah.
And my dog's dreaming. Okay, so let's see. And then when did he start doing the testing on the children?
Now, I wonder what his counterparts were in other countries, because it's something I noticed recently, just because I keep going back to the subject, because, you know, we're still kind of in the mess we're in now, and because it needs to get out. It really does. I don't know exactly when they started, but in basically they were doing it all over the country, but the most documented case is New York City one. That's why we always go there and talk about that one, because, you know, they had the they had a couple like investigative journal. Well, one
in Celia particular. Farber.
Well, Celia Farber and Liam Sheff. Liam Sheff actually went in there and told him he was doing an AIDS story or whatever. That is, he didn't tell him from his point of view on it, you know, and he actually investigated it for a while.
What was he investigating?
And, Incarnation Children's Center in New York City.
And that's is that an orphanage or a hospital?
That's the orphanage that they're having NIH trials on for AZT and Varipine.
It's called Incarnation?
No, sorry. Yeah, it is, yeah. Because on my video on it's incarceration, but it's called Incarnation. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's called Incarnation. Huh. Yeah, they're doing all those experiments on foster kids. And, some were just presumed positive.
With AZT?
Yes, AZT and Varipine, another like toxic ass chemotherapy.
Were they testing kids that were just normal, healthy kids?
Well, supposedly they had HIV. Now, some were tested, but in my opinion, and a lot of, you know, prominent doctors and scientists, including the PCR inventors, say these tests, you know, don't mean anything. So say they did. So they did say the tests were accurate. There were still, some of the kids weren't even tested. They were, quote unquote, presumed positive. Presumed. Yeah.
Maybe they had a mother or a father who was on record. Maybe, you know,
something or whatever.
They could have cooked all the books too. I mean, it's kids with nobody to vouch for them. Gonna...
Well, that's another thing.
What do you think those kids look like, Deborah?
I think you know. New York City. Yeah.
God only knows. God only knows.
Mostly black kids. Mostly black kids, maybe some Spanish, like, or some kind of Latino. I don't know. I don't know then what anything is anymore, but
yeah,
mostly non-white kids, we'll say. So, according to law, all of these trials were supposed to have patient advocates for every kid was supposed to have an advocate. And it came out that like barely any did.
Like some sort of caseworker or something.
Somebody
like that.
To watch out to make sure it was going in the best interest of the child. But yeah, they
didn't. How long did the testing continue?
Well, for a while, yeah, till they died. Usually, I don't know. See, I don't know exactly how long. There was a documentary that came out in 2004 called "Guinea Pig Kids," and Celia Farber did do the field work for that. I've been in contact with her. Like, I have a lot of respect for her.
Yeah, but, Scott, our buddy Scott from Truzilla. Yeah. Talked to her on his show.
Yeah, I watched that. Yeah, I watched that too.
She's the most quoted or the most cited journalist in that book you're holding there, Deborah.
Well, because, yeah, well, like over the last 2 years, me looking into all this old shit, like I think I found some articles that nobody else, that I hadn't seen anybody anywhere else until later at least. I didn't know that all these articles were Celia Farber's. I'd started to later on, you know, as I was making videos, but, you know, yeah, she's been at it a while.
Okay.
But, I don't know exactly how many years went on there. I know the place didn't close down until like 2017 or 2019.
Yeah. Oh,
God.
How many, what's the count on how many kids died during those trials?
They don't know for sure. Well, I mean, like more mainstream articles are saying something like 25, I think, but there's no way I know. I know it's a lot more. Now, there was a mass grave, but now apparently all the kids in the mass grave weren't necessarily from that children's center, but they were put in there too. And that's at the cemetery. And I don't remember. I made a video about it. It's called Section 45. It's about, you know, the mass grave at the cemetery. But here's another thing. I found another old documentary in England. They were doing AZT tests on foster kids in 1994. All right. So 1994, they were doing AZT trials on foster kids, mostly black infants, everything, 1994. And then in New York they were doing it in 2004, so that's 10 years right there. I mean, across at least two countries. So,
and it was all under the guise of for HIV.
Yeah,
damn.
So as long as they say oh, you have HIV, you're sick, you don't have to have anything or be sick at all, but as long as they say you are, they can do whatever they want because you're gonna die. Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
Did they
have similar reasons? What was that English documentary called? I think I heard you mention it.
I just watched it recently. I forgot the name. Which one was it? It was from Joan Shenton, who's done a lot of these documentaries. I gotta find it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly which one. You know, oh, I do. I think, I don't know if I know exactly, but it's I had just done a video on John Lauritsen, the author of Poison by Prescription, who recently passed away, unfortunately. And he went to Europe. They were going to Germany. I think it's in that one. Celia Farber's in it too. It's called Diary of an AIDS Dissident. That's what it is. I'm pretty sure that's what it's in. Diary of an AIDS Dissident from 1994.
So what was in the New York City at the Incarnation Center, what was Anthony Fauci's role in that
study? Well, he funded the experiments
directly. Through NIAID.
Yeah. So he funded that. Well, and they had a whistleblower come out from the NIH that he fired. Well, I don't know if he said it personally, but you know, had him fired. They had like a battle with this guy for a while. Jonathan Fishbein, and he's on record too. I'm trying to think where I was going here. It's such a clusterfuck that it's like it's so much to it. It's huge and disgusting. Oh, and if these kids, as they got older, they would refuse AZT. They would refuse taking it, you know, because they get sick, they get diarrhea, they puke up everywhere, you know, they couldn't eat. So they only refuse a certain amount of times. And then I know if they're younger, you know, and they stick a tube down their throat from their nose and feeding in that way. And then they eventually would just put them in surgery, insert tubes into their stomach and force the fucking AZT into them. Not only that, if you had a kid that tested positive for HIV, doesn't mean anything, in my opinion, you know, and a lot of other people's. And, you know, you start like thinking and seeing like, you know, results that you don't like, and you take them off the AZT. They come take the fucking kids anyway and poison them anyway. It's fucking insane. It's huge lunacy. Just seeing like this, it's a nightmare. If I sit here and think about this daily, I should just fucking start crying. Yeah. Like it's that bad, you know?
Yeah. It's awful.
It is.
It's weird because like a lot of older gay men seem like they knew who Anthony Fauci was before everybody else, just because of the AIDS epidemic. And they were, you know, outraged with him since the start. I saw, you know, you see that famous picture of like Dr. Fauci, or the guy holding up a sign that says Dr. Yeah, Fauci, you're killing us, from like 1982 or something like that. But I wonder what those guys were thinking when they saw him reemerge.
I wonder too.
Through COVID. Because I know the younger generation of whatever alphabet soup we call it now,
yeah,
loved the guy. You know, you see videos of the San Francisco gay men's choir, like singing like,
yeah,
Dr. Fauci, bring me vaccines and things like that. You know, it's so wild, you know.
So what, I've got a friend of a friend who remembered him. He's an older gay guy. And when my friend called him up, you know, like a year ago, you know, they hadn't talked in a while, you know, and they started talking, he was completely on board with, you know, masking and social distancing and being in total fear. And my friend was like, well, what about, you know, he didn't know at this point that he would remember, but he brought up Fauci. He says, well, and his friend said that, oh, I remember Fauci from the 80s. You know, you can't trust that guy. Like that guy's bad news. He's a bad guy. And he's like, well, so then why are you so afraid of everything? And everything was like, I'm not listening to Fauci. I'm listening to all the other authorities. Like,
yeah,
Fauci is just going, he kind of had this point of view. So I understood that like Fauci was going along with the program, which is weird for me to hear, because I'm looking at it as, well, Fauci is the program.
Is the program.
You know, the program is people listening to Fauci and responding. Yeah. And I think this guy, I mean, I've met him once or twice, but I really don't know how he thinks. But I think he has just rearranged everything to be able to take in the news narrative. And just every time he'd see Fauci, you know, fuck that guy. But everyone else is talking just like Fauci. Like he just wasn't seeing it as he was given the marching orders. And he was just kind of going, yeah, okay. You know, okay, okay. Oh, and then there's that Fauci guy. I hate him. But then everyone else, okay, good, 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 good.
Yeah.
You know, very, I mean, the only way I could describe it is that the guy must be doing mental gymnastics
I've described it that way myself many times. So yeah. I've used it too. Mental gymnastics.
Mm-hmm. Has that. When you first saw him get rolled out and start talking to everybody through the mainstream media, Deborah, what was your initial thoughts on that little guy?
I thought this little guy knows what he's talking about, and he's the voice of reason, and he's the, you know, the counterpart to, you know, the crazy president who was saying all this goofy stuff. And I thought he was the voice of reason.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's wild to think, even though, because I know we all know how you feel about the orange guy, but the orange guy, you know, kept him employed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
all time.
Yeah. What do you, I don't know if you've gotten into that book at all, but since doing the show and listening to our rants and stuff, and maybe hearing about the Incarnation Center, maybe about what he does to Beagles, what do you think now?
Well, I have not gotten very far in the book, but I think it started, I started like really questioning him after watching Plandemic.
Yeah. What, I forget what they talk about in Plandemic. They probably, I don't know if they get into his old age stuff, but they talk, maybe they do.
Yeah.
Do they talk about his ties to pharma companies?
Gosh, they probably, I don't remember, but I'm sure they did. I mean,
Jamie, did you uncover, well, I'm sure you did. Can you talk to us about that at all?
I know he's signed to Moderna. I think it's Moderna. Well, there's two that begin with the M. I think it's Moderna, not Merck. I'm pretty sure. I could have that wrong. Well, not just that. He's also on a lot of patents. And there was like a kind of, not really a scandal, but when that whistleblower came out, because he's on patents for IL-2, interleukin-2, whatever that is. And all kinds of sketchy shit with it. I think his name was added to it later. Like it was patented like twice, something like that. That's what, an old video I made about him. But, and they tried to hide what the whistleblower wanted to come out, like that it was causing the interleukin-2, which is his name's on the patent. They're having like, I don't know if they're trials, but they're supposed to update the, like, kind of like the warnings or whatever, side effects type shit. And they wouldn't do it. They just kept ignoring it. And one was suicidal ideation, you know, so, you know, suicidal thoughts and something to do with the heart. It's not ironically, but something to do with your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some shit like that. He's on a bunch of patents though, I think. Yeah. I just don't know what they all are.
Yeah. They talk about it in, they talk about all the connections in the first three or so chapters of the real Anthony Fauci, and just, I forget the name of those organizations that they, that are like the research organizations that just say what they want them to say. So that, and then they're also involved in making the medicine. Let's see, where should we go? What do you think, like, this is total speculative questioning, but like, why is he the way he is? Why does he do it? Like, what's his deal? Is he just a full-on psychopath?
I assume he was probably groomed for it in some way. I don't know. I don't know exactly, but I know he goes way back with all these people. Like the, you know, that old picture of him in 2001 with Warren Buffett, I think, Gates Sr., Rockefeller, all those people, Ted Turner, who, and all those people were at the club at the Good Club in 2009 discussing overpopulation and what to do about it. You know, and that was like 8 years later after that picture, but see, he's been around for a while. And I think he probably is. He's probably groomed into it because his wife, her dad, so his father-in-law graduated Yale in 1948 with George H.W. Bush. So I think it's like, it's probably part of the whole like deep family thing. I don't know. I don't know, but
if you want to get into a bunch of conspiracy stuff, I think he went to a Jesuit high school.
Yeah, exactly.
Did he go to Georgetown?
I think so. Maybe. I think he went to Georgetown. Well, Holy Cross was a high school. But yeah, he graduated Jesuit schools. And Shit, he pretty much is like he ushered in cancel culture, which is what Celia Farber says in the book.
Yeah, can you tell us about that or explain that a little bit to Deborah?
Well, that's kind of how, because there's so many really good scientists speaking out about him, and you know what they have to say, it's reasonable. Doesn't sound insane. Like, you know, they don't have to like keep lying this way and that way, and you know, and they've been consistent. So the way he canceled them without science is to, you know, politically correct, being politically correct. And I don't really know how that pertains to it. Just something like you couldn't talk to it, you know, condoms, all that stuff. I mean, you couldn't talk about it because then you were home. I guess it's politically correct because what they do is if you speak against the narrative, they just smear you back then as a homophobe, now as a racist, you know, and all that.
And he also controlled the purse strings for anybody that wanted to do any sort of medical research or write papers or get anything peer reviewed and stuff like that.
So he got control of the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, exactly. So that combination.
The amount of money that he's able to dole out every year is nuts.
Yeah. And it gets bigger. It gets higher every year. It's more and more.
And science is supposed to be, you know, where you do argue the facts. That's how you learn more. And shut that down.
Yeah, they shut it down. There's a really, really, really good documentary. I don't know if any of you guys have seen it, from 2009, and it's called House of Numbers.
Yeah, that's the one I heard you mention on Scott's show.
Yeah, it's really good. And there's a sequel too, but it's called House of Numbers, Anatomy of an Epidemic. Fauci's in it. You know, and everybody else too. Celia's in it, a whole bunch of people. But after you kind of walk away from that, and like, all right, it's like, because the so-called experts, they don't make sense. They get fidgety, like you start asking them like questions, like they start like looking at the clock and stuff, you know, getting mad. And then the other point of view just come out sensible. And it's just like they don't have any actual data to back up anything they're saying. How the fuck have they got away with this for so long? It's crazy.
Yeah, it's just massive control of the narrative and then complicity with pharma, like, and the mainstream media and government.
Exactly. Well, honestly, I think that comes into play because the CDC has a secret intelligence arm called the EIS, Epidemic Intelligence Service.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And Fauci is a member. It's not public. Well, they used to have a membership public till like 1992. I actually had a doctor that wrote one of the earlier books. Not too early, but like 2000, called Goodbye Germ Theory, Dr. William Trebbing.
Yeah.
He came over to my house actually, and that's, I did a awesome podcast with him. Yeah. So I forget what I was saying before that, but whatever. He came over to you and we did a podcast. Where was I going with that?
You were you mentioned the EIS.
Thank you very much. I think that's the first place I heard of it. That book and another book called Inventing the AIDS Virus by Peter Duisberg, which is also on Audible. You can't find a hard copy. It's like $2,000 for a copy. Like, but
it's the one that was like the most highly published or peer reviewed scientist.
He was the father of retrovirology. And he's the one that first mapped like the genetic sequence of like a retrovirus. So he knew most about them, and he was like, there's no way it's not possible. And explains it all. The book is amazing. He's still alive too. I tried to contact him last year, and his wife said, she got back to me, she said he had a stroke. But as far as I'm aware, he's still alive though.
But he got totally smeared and ruined and put out of the conversation.
Everything. Yeah, he was able to keep his job. He's a professor at Berkeley.
Yeah, UC Berkeley.
He was tenured or whatever. So So he was able to keep his professorship, but that's it. Everything else, his lab was gone, all his funding, everything. So that just, and he's been saying the same thing for fucking 40 years almost, you know, 30 something years.
That's awful. It's
crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Just canceled.
But I think it's pretty fucking funny, honestly. Like, I watch a lot of videos with this guy in it and shit. He tells it, like, I put it in the video. That's why, like, he tells a story about, like, going on, he was gonna go on the show, like I don't know what channel, like just say ABC or whatever. And the next day, like he gets kicked off of it, and Fauci's there, took his place. He turns on the TV, there's Fauci. So I'm like, you know, Fauci cockblocked Peter Duesberg. That's what he did, because Peter Duesberg, it was cracking me up. He's talking about whatever the fucking...
It was Good Morning America.
Well, it might have been, yeah.
I think they talk about it at in that book, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. He's talking about the girl, and he's like him explaining it. He's like, I was going to tell her, you know, I wish I knew the name, but it would be so much better. But he's like, I was going to tell her not to worry. He's like a little boy talking about like sex. He's like, the HIV doesn't cause sex, you know, because it's like, you know, he had a crush on her or whatever. Yeah, she cock-blocked him. She totally cock-blocked him.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's so wild that what was the amongst your circle of friends? I mean, I kind of know the answer without even asking the question, Deborah. But did everybody like that guy, or did they just trust him? Because to me, he's extremely unlikable just because, like, the way he talks and comes off and stuff.
He was not part of the conversation. You know, we didn't, I don't think I ever heard of him back in those days.
No, I'm talking about now.
Oh, now. Oh, yeah. My friends think he's great.
They like his accent and stuff like that. I think it's like endearing. I heard a lot of people, if you're from the East Coast, people liked him because it sounds like people from the East Coast's grandpa something.
I'm from the East Coast. I mean, I live in the South, but I'm from Boston originally.
Oh, so from like the Northeast. Yeah, people would be like, oh, he sounds like my Italian grandpa. And that's kind of like the same reason why people liked the Cuomos. But to me, that accent's absolutely repulsive.
My family has Massachusetts accents. It's slightly different. So.
Where you add that R towards the
end. Yeah, and you take them away from some words and you put them in other words. Like, it would say, I got an idea. Let's go in the car.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah, where'd the R go? You put it there, that makes no sense.
Until it was like fucking,
until I was like 15, probably. I thought it was aren't instead of aunt. I had like instead of my auntie, I'd be like, auntie. I thought it was an R in the fucking word. Then I moved down south when I was 11, and they fucked me all up because it's not even aunt or aren't, it's aunt.
So. Yeah. That's what we say up here too. But what do you think his ultimate fate will be with the public, the media? Will he be held to account for everything that he's done, or will he just kind of fade away, or will he make a comeback? He's kind of in witness protection right now.
Yeah, where is he?
I don't know.
He's probably talking about what infectious disease is going to come up between Russia and Ukraine.
There was something I mentioned it once before. I don't know. I didn't follow it, but I saw a headline that was him talking about TB, tuberculosis in Ukraine or something like that.
Weird they're not just saying AIDS then, because that's one of the AIDS defining diseases in Africa. If you have tuberculosis,
then you have
AIDS. They can say it's AIDS. Yeah. Or malaria or malnourished.
Maybe that's what they're working for. Maybe that's
he's in the lab. He's in the lab doing heavy research right now. That's what he's been known to do, you know. But what do you think?
I can only hope he needs to be held accountable. He hasn't for decades, but a lot of people have known, but not a lot of people, you know. I think it needs to be. It's a pattern I've been seeing over the years. I've only been doing this like 5 years, making videos and stuff, but it's happened over and over. Conscience, awareness, and attention needs to be on something. And it's going to be a buildup over time of, you know, keep digging up more information. It's not just me. It's a collection of everybody kind of doing this kind of shit, you know, and getting more people aware. Then all of a sudden, it's like this dam burst. But not everything comes out. And with me, my first thing was Hollywood. Like, all that shit started coming out after I was like part of the digging for it, you know, and all that. And I saw that happen. And a lot of, you know, not everything came out, and not everybody, you know, faced justice or whatever, but a lot of people were, you know, like Weinstein, for example, one of them. And then the same thing kind of happened with Epstein, because I never thought Epstein would be rearrested. Then Epstein gets rearrested. And yeah, everything got fucked up and sidetracked or whatever. Who knows what really happened, but it's still the conscious awareness and attention on it. And then for another year, it was fucking Ghislaine.
Yeah.
And like, she was hiding. And then all of a sudden that gets. So I think this is a big one, and it's taking a little longer, but I think the awareness needs to be there. And there just needs to be like I don't know what the amount is, but a certain amount of people are like knowing the truth. And eventually, like, kind of like with all these little stories, people talking about them, like all the shit through the past few years. And then like 6 months later, you're allowed to. And, you know, we were right.
Yeah. I'd be happy with he just goes away forever and then is referred to in history as a killer of black children, gay men, you know.
Killed Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, a murderer of the most vulnerable people in recent history.
You know, worse than Jeffrey Dahmer.
Gay people, little black kids, little children all over the third world, stuff like that. Yeah. So, you know, and for being an alt-right podcast, Deborah, that's pretty impressive. That's what I think of him, you know. So
yeah, I'm not. I don't. You know, I'm not the one that that passes judgment. Dad, yeah, bud. For a second, the dogs will let you get a heart shake together. Okay, I'll be done in just a second.
Tell him to go to his room, or Anthony Fauci's coming over.
No,
threaten him with a Fauci.
He was he threw up earlier. Kids, you gotta love it. Always, like something's happened. All kinds of, like, you know, you never know.
Yeah,
kids and dogs.
At least he probably just had a bad burrito and not a dose of AZT.
Yeah.
Oh no. I don't even think he ate today though. He wasn't feeling good. Yeah. He was sleeping. Yeah.
Well, Jamie, I think we'll let you get. Unless you guys have any final questions for Jamie.
No, this has been fascinating though. This is great.
Yeah,
I'm glad you enjoy it. I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I do know I talked about Fauci. I think we hit a lot of areas.
We covered a lot of territory.
Yeah.
Good.
Big map.
Are you good?
Because I don't plan ahead or anything. I never know what the fuck I'm going to say.
Deborah, yeah, that's kind of how we roll too. Deborah, if anybody, any of your blue-pilled normie vaxxed friends talk to you about Anthony Fauci, what are you gonna say?
I'm going to say, you know, I've got this book. It's written by somebody who I know you respect, Robert Kennedy. So
yeah,
maybe you want to check it out.
Yeah, it's available on Audible. I wrote, I gave that to you and to your husband because I know that he has different opinions on, he kind of has a consensus opinion on everything that's been happening. And I think the card that I included in it, because I gave it to you for Christmas, was, I hope you read this book with an open mind. And that it allows you to live your life without fear.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's some really heavy material, I think once you like realize what we're up against and what their main goals and agenda are, it's you know, that's the stuff that makes me have hope, is that it's like, there is nothing to be really scared of except for, you know,
That behind the curtain.
Yeah, the guy, and I don't, you know, if you don't take what he's telling me to do, I think I'll be okay. But Jamie, you want to plug all your stuff?
Oh well, since I was censored from Linktree. So
God, that's
cost my links
from
to,
from Linktree.
Yeah, that my paid account I paid for. But I had to make a quick website. So I just threw everything on deluxenation.com because I upload to 7 different platforms. So I'm like, you know, I'm all over the place.
So Deluxe Nation, that's DLUXNation.com.
.com. That's it.
I will link it in my, I'll link it in my show notes. And yeah, you're a really talented video editor, and there's some really cool stuff in there. There's even a video about Bobby Lee in there.
Yeah. That was some fucked up shit, man.
Yeah. Well, we'll get you back on again if we can ever pin you down. We'd like to talk about like the Hollywood stuff. If you
I know I'm bad about booking shit. Like I have people like, but it's like I'm not good.
No, you're bad because you're busy doing other shit, man.
Yeah, I'm always doing shit. Like I had like one kid come. There's another one over there now. But yeah, it's just if we pin down a time and date, I try to make myself available. So.
Cool, man. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I've been listening to you for years. First heard you on, I think, the Conspiracy Farm hella long ago.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I miss those guys too.
Yeah. And then William Ramsey just put out, I listened to it and it was old. He re-released it.
Yeah.
But I listened to that one. That's a great episode. If you guys go within the last few weeks.
After you said something to me, I re-listened to the beginning and I heard my kids in the background come in and it,
it
sounds so young because it's 2018 because my, you know, they're 6 and 8 right now. So
yeah.
And it was like, oh, it breaks my heart. Yeah, you know, so I had to stop right then.
It's cool like, to have it's cool to have a record of that though, because like William Rams is like, oh, don't worry, man, I'll just edit it out. But he left it in. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, he was nice. He was cool.
Yeah, he's a great dude. I love that guy. But so deluxenation.com, check it out, guys. And yeah, look into this. Guys, listen to this book on Audible. It's 27 hours. But I think
it'll speed it up. It will only be like 24 hours if you speed it up, and it does it like seriously. Like that guy talks slow, but thank God it's not RFK Jr. Like,
that'd be a little too much.
Yeah, I know. I respect the guy and stuff, and I try to, you know, if he's on something, I'll try to listen, but you know.
Yeah,
For 20 plus hours, I mean.
Yeah, right. Oh my God.
He was on Higher Side Chats, and yeah, luckily it was only an hour episode. So
yeah, that sucks, man.
Too bad. But all right, guys, we'll let you get out of here and get back to the family, dude. We really appreciate you being here with us on a Sunday night. And yeah, keep doing that work and stay free, bro.
All right, that's man. Great. Thanks, guys.
Great to meet you.
All right.
You too.
Great nice to talking meet to you.
You, you too.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye, Deborah.
Bye.
I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not signed on to killing all those old people. Oh, those black babies? Fuck you, motherfucking New World Order. I will get your ass to lay that. It pisses me off. You sign on to playing God, you get burned. And all you dumbasses that serve the New World Order, idiots. Playing God all day. Deciding who lives and who dies.
Penis man.
And then I find out they're all screwing little kids and devil worshiping. Of course they are. Oh, you're the big elites, Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Clinton and Epstein, all in that seven-story pervert building in New York. What a bunch of freaks. And the fact that those pedophiles, and I'm calling Oprah Winfrey one, hope she burns in hell. Every damn one of you's a piece of crap. And you're going to be judged. So you just continue to enjoy hurting babies and hurting old people and hurting homeless people and turn us all into a bunch of idiots. Because you will be destroyed.
Mom, I'm transgender.